Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hope you guys had a great weekend. We've got another special treat for you. We can't get enough of him. He was away. Now he's back. And we keep having him back because he wants to be back. And so we'll have him on as much as he wants to call in. But Tom Jones of the Poynter Institute of Media Studies, longtime columnist for the Tampa Bay Times, and my partner on radio, joins us today on this podcast of Sports Day Tampa Bay. Hey, just a reminder, while we're chatting about big events here in the Tampa Bay area, the 18th annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg presented by RP Funding. That's happening this February 25th through the 27th. They've already erected that beautiful 1.8-mile, 14-turn track that uses the streets of St. Petersburg. It circles Pioneer Park, the Duke Energy Center of the Arts, and, of course, the Dali Museum. And then it extends onto the runways where the grandstand is at Albert Whitted Airport. For information and tickets, visit gpstpete.com. That's gpstpete.com. I wanted to ask you, we talked a lot of quarterbacks here, but I have to ask you about the Lightning. But before we even get to the Lightning, all I could think about was you when I heard this news that came out of the ether to me. I was like, wait, what? Marty St. Louis, the guy that you wrote more words about than I think probably any journalist in America or
I think
Canada.
That's true. You know what? I was thinking about that the other day when I heard this news, that of all the guys that I ever covered in Tampa Bay, that's probably the guy, not, I hate to say closest to, because it's not like we were buddies or anything, but the guy that I probably knew better and had a best relationship with more than any other was Marty St. Louis. Yeah,
and wrote
sure.
more about him. Probably
yeah,
wrote more
I actually
than anybody.
Went to New York right after he got traded, and they were in the finals that year.
Yeah.
And he was really cool. Like, a bunch of people were asking about Tampa Bay and being traded, and he's like, look, I'm done talking about that. I'm not talking about the – and then he called me over after that scrum. He goes, if you want to ask me about Tampa Bay, I'll talk to you about it. Like, it was so cool. But talk to him about that. There was another – one of my favorite stories of all time. I remember one time – I think I've told this before on the podcast where we were – they were practicing in Brandon. I was covering the team, and they were practicing in Brandon. And we just had one of those Florida storms that just came up where it was – you couldn't see. You were about to get on the Gandy Bridge, and I literally could not see. It was raining that hard. So I had to pull off, and I never made it to practice. So I called the Lightning, and I called Bill Wickett, who was the PR guy, and I'm like, hey, can you get me Marty? Because Marty was like on a 15-game scoreless streak or something like that. And so Marty calls me, and he goes, hey, where were you this morning? I was like, what? He goes, you weren't at practice? I got to call you? And I said, yeah, it was raining bad. And I felt like just the biggest clown in the world. I'm like, yeah, it was raining. And he goes, where do you live? And I said, St. Pete. He goes, Pavel Kubi. And Kubi called him, you know, Pavel Kubi. He goes, Kubi lives in St. Pete. He was at practice. And I was like, well, he goes, so anyway, what do you want? I go, well, I know you haven't scored in a while. He goes, wait, but let me get this right. You don't make practice. I got to call you, and now you want to talk about why I suck for the last month and a half? You know, it's like, yeah, kind of.
Why am I calling you?
But yeah, he was. I got to, and then I actually got to go down to after he retired. He was coaching his kids. His oldest kid.
Yeah,
he was like 13 at the time, and he was playing in a tournament in Fort Lauderdale. And this was right before they retired his jersey and all that. So I went down there. Ahead of time to do a story, and I wrote about him being a coach. I never thought he would coach in the NHL, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I didn't see this coming, and I don't know how many people did, but, I mean, all of a sudden, he's – and I know he's the interim coach right now. But he has
and
no
that's
plans.
That's a bad team. Oh, my gosh.
They're horrible. I couldn't believe it. I looked at their record. I go, wait a minute. Am I seeing this right? Are these guys won, like, this many games? Like,
eight. They've won eight. Going in the other night, anyway.
Incredible. And so he's taking the worst team in the league, but he's also, like, this team means something to him emotionally. Like, they're pulling out drawings when he was a kid of himself, drawing himself as a Canadian, you know, playing for them. And then now, Vinny LeCavalier is going to be the assistant GM? You know,
which that doesn't surprise me. I thought at some point Vinny would get involved. Now, Kent Hughes, who is the GM, used to be Vinny's agent. I got to know Kent Hughes a little bit because he helped years ago when Dirk Shad and I went to Russia to talk to Vinny, and he helped coordinate that trip for us. But it's, you know, the thing about Marty, Rick, is that there was a point where if you'd asked me, would he be a good coach in NHL? And I still don't know if the answer is yes or no. We'll see. I thought, you know, but he's just odd enough that I don't know if he'll be able to communicate well with other players, but apparently that's his strength at this point, is he really knows how to teach the game. And I watched him look, it's a big difference dealing with kids. Yeah. I watched how he dealt with his son's team, his 13-year-olds. You know, he wasn't like a crazy guy, maniacal, breaking sticks. He was really cerebral, even with kids. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed with how he handled those kids. And from all accounts now, it sounds like he's doing a really good job just in terms of communicating with players. Some of the things Joe Smith did a story about, he talked to John Tortorella about Marty. And
you had him in as a consultant at one point.
Yeah,
with Columbus.
Yeah. And in fact, Torts wanted him to be an assistant coach in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And so people who know him, who've really truly know him much better than I know him, think he's going to be really good at this. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, obviously, like I said, the team's bad. But I hope he makes it because he's an interesting guy and he's a really good guy. I like him a lot. He's a good person.
It seems like, though, the greater the player, the harder it is for them to succeed as coaches. In other words, I don't know. You know, I know Gretzky was like in the front office, right? But whatever the sport
Gretzky
is.
Gretzky coached briefly. Briefly. Nah, but you're right. Like, if you look at some of the top coaches around the league, they're typically not. Now, I covered a guy, Jacques Lemaire, when I was in Minnesota, who he's a Hall of Fame player, and he's just a brilliant coach. Larry Robinson, who's a Hall of Fame player, he was a coach. But you're right, Rick. You're talking, that's rare. It seems like it's in every sport, right? I mean, there aren't that many. I mean, you look at some of the best managers in baseball. They weren't great. Kevin Cash is a good manager. You know, he wasn't a great player. Joe Maddon didn't even play at the major league level, I don't think. So you look around it, it's unusual for great players to be great. It's just it doesn't happen that they're great coaches. Oftentimes, and the old story goes, and remember, you can tell the old stories about like Ted Williams, who tried to be a manager and wasn't very good at it. It's because they get frustrated because no one's as good as them. What was
exactly?
Remember, Bob Gibson was a pitching coach, and he came out to the mound one time, and guy was in a jam. He goes, just throw three fastballs outside corner, boom, 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 let's go. The guy's like, yeah, great, Bob. I don't have a 99-mile-an-hour fastball like you did. Like, so yeah, I hope it works out, though, because I like Marty a lot.
I mean, they got LeCavier is going to be the assistant GM, it looks like. I mean, what's next? Is Frederick Modine going to come in? Rusan Fenatenko?
There's an old poll.
Brad Richards is going to be – I did hear his name somewhere in the organization. Right?
Brad Richards, yeah.
I mean, what do we got here?
I know. That's
Chris Dingman. I mean,
yeah. That would be. I think Chris Dingman.
The 04 Lightning are moving to Montreal. And I know that Stuart Sternberg had the idea first, right? I mean, I mean, somehow this Montreal thing, I think, is embedded here with the Tampa Bay Lightning former players. I think they.
I have not talked to anybody. I have not talked to Stu. I have not talked to anybody with the Rays. But I got to believe Stu's going to go scorched earth on people because, man, 2 years and then everybody was like, "Yeah, I think it'll work. I think it'll work."
Yeah,
and all of a sudden,
up
one day, like, "No,
not
you're not
a great
doing
idea."
That.
Yeah, no, we
that's
good.
It's sort of like when you're a little kid, and, like you ask your dad, like, "Hey, can I go to this concert?" Like, "Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, maybe." And then the day of the concert, like, "You're not going there. What are you talking about?"
Right. I was never going to let you go. Did you really believe that I was going to let you? I just wanted you to clean up your room. You know,
that's
like,
right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I thought, no, really. Oh, okay.
So, what do you think about the Lightning? Is that they're a cup team? They have a chance, right?
You know,
of course they do. They have the tied for the best record.
I can't explain what or who they are or what the culture is over there or how they do it, what they do. But I think, you know, it starts, obviously it's a great organization that, you know, Benning has created. But there's another thing. Like, first of all, when you got the greatest goaltender in the world, like the other night,
solves a lot of problems.
The other night they were playing New Jersey, and they played horribly for like the first, I don't know, 30 minutes.
Yes, they did.
I mean, it was just terrible. And They're playing a team that they're clearly better than. And New Jersey scored three fairly quick goals, and yet they could have scored eight or nine. You know what I mean? Like, this guy kept them in the game, Vasilevskiy, like nobody's business. And then, of course, they changed up some lines. They started, okay, guys, let's go play now. And they scored like six unanswered or something, and they win 6-3. But I was wondering, like, if you took him out of the net, right, if you had an average at best, but an average goaltender, an average run-of-the-mill NHL goaltender, how good are the Lightning?
I mean, the silly answer is not nearly as good as they are now. I don't think we can overstate how important it is to have that goalie, Rick. Just the added, not just as far as like how many goals he stops and how much he keeps you in games where, like the other night, where you sort of piddle around for half a game
and still have a
chance to win because your goalie plays unbelievable. But I just think it gives you an attitude, Rick. It gives you a swagger that teams that don't have that goalie don't have. Who reminds me most of, and this is going to go really old school here. This reminds me a lot of the old Edmonton Oilers where you had Grant Fuhr in net.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of games where Grant Fuhr would give up three or four goals and they'd win 6-4. But when it really got to crunch time, you knew you could count on them. And there were nights where you had to win 2-1 or 1-0. And he could do that for you too. So you're right. He's the best goalie in hockey right now. I trust him more. And that's why I give them a chance to win. But, Rick, I'm telling you, this Eastern Conference, pretty much the eight teams that are going to make the playoffs, we already know who they are.
I mean,
we're just playing out the season. Unless somebody goes on, if Detroit happened to go on like some incredible run here, maybe they have a chance to catch somebody. Or if somebody really falls apart and falls out of it. But of the eight teams in it, Rick, all eight of them, I can make a case for all eight can win the cup. The two, if the playoffs started right now, the two wild card teams now, would be Boston and the Washington Capitals.
Jeez.
Think about that. Those teams are loaded.
Yeah.
And some nights I'll watch and I'm like, you know what? I think Florida's the best team in the East. And then the next night I'll go, no, you know what? I think it's Carolina. And then all of a sudden, I don't know how Pittsburgh's in first place, but they are. And some nights I really like the Rangers. And then one of these years, Toronto's going to break through. And then, of course, I put the Lightning right up there with anybody. I think if this year's Lightning played last year's Lightning would win. But I still like this year's team a lot.
I like them a lot. And I think if you agree that they got the best goaltender, or at least I think he's the best in the NHL, and then you go to the defense and you go, well, I mean, certainly top three, top four defender in Victor Hedman.
Yes.
And then you go to, you know, in terms of scoring and playmaking, I mean, Kucherov, MVP type player, right? I mean, just the, and then, you know, Braden
looks
Point.
Like he hasn't, you could not tell me he had surgery and missed most of the season. No, not at all.
And just the plays he makes. And so just that core right there. And then all
and you
the,
told
all
me,
the
if
pieces.
You'd have told me 2 years ago, Rick, that Steven Stamkos would be doing what he's doing now,
unbelievable.
I never would have believed it.
It's unbelievable. He looks like he's found the fountain of youth.
Exactly. And it's finally, and it's just a testament. It's a little bit like Brady. It's a testament to how hard he works to keep in really good condition. But yeah, you look at this team, Rick, that core right there, and they've done it now 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
They got a really good coach, and they got a, I'm not sure they're done. I think they might add a piece here if they can.
How would they not? Maybe. How would you count them out, right? Like, exactly. Somebody's got to slay the dragon, right? They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be 2 times defending Stanley Cup champions. And depending on their health, let's assume that all the guys that are playing now are healthy enough to play in the postseason. Are you not going to favor the Lightning? And I know what you're saying about Florida. I've watched them. I know what you're saying about some of these other teams. And they've struggled against a couple of them, too. But am I right about this? They haven't lost 2 games at home in a row?
I don't know if that's true, but it sounds about right. Here's the thing, Rick.
2 games in general in a row.
They haven't lost 2 in regulation all year.
Is that what it is? Regulation, okay.
Well, here's the thing. If they get, and you're right, Rick. I mean, there are a lot of good teams out there, and they're all pretty evenly matched. But if it's a toss-up, if we ever get into a series, you're like, it could go either way. Usually you lean towards, okay, who has the better goalie?
Well, right.
There you go. Who has the better? And the next thing, okay, who has the better goalie? Then I would say, well, who has the best defense? Or who has the best player after that? And I would probably take Kucherov as much as I would take anybody. Now, you have Ovechkin's a tremendous player, and Crosby still can play. And you have, you know, the Bruins. I think Patrice Bergeron is as good a two way player as there is. I mean, everybody's got somebody. Yeah. But this team, man, I wasn't expecting it, Rick. I thought early this season, there's something missing. They don't look right. And I know Kucherov was out, but there was something I didn't like about him. But now the only thing that I would worry a little bit about, and Steve, you watch him every night, is I really like their top four defensemen, but I think you're going to have to play those guys a ton come the postseason, unless the Cal Foots and people like that really step up.
Well, you need Zach Bogosian back.
Yeah,
and
that's
he's,
true.
You know, they're hoping for early March for him, which is really only three more games at this point. So,
right.
But he's been out most of the season. Got hurt, what, opening night?
Yeah.
He's come back for a few games, but that's it. If he's your sixth defenseman, then I think you're okay. Cal Foots improving and getting better. Look, at the end of the day, someone's got to beat the Lightning. Someone's got to beat Andrei Vasilevsky four times in seven games.
Right.
That's not easy to do. I wonder how the lines could be shuffled a little bit, but how the kid line performs in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, Taylor Radish, Boris Kachuk.
Right.
You know, how are those guys? I mean, they're having a good regular season, and they're developing, and they're growing. But we know the playoffs are a different animal. How are
and
they
you look
going
at
to
last
hold
year,
up in the
yeah,
playoffs?
That fourth line really was really solid last year in the playoffs.
You know, so I think Julian Breezeball's probably trying to add another piece. They have a salary cap crunch. It's dollars in for dollars out this year. And they have no player. The other part is they have no players that are, not waiver eligible. So if they add somebody, they've got to send someone out for salary cap reasons, if nothing else. Boris Kachuk, Taylor Radish, they're going to get claimed. You're going to lose that player. So it's a balancing act how they're going to do that, but if they add a piece. But
yeah, they've been incredible, and Pat Maroon going for his fourth straight Stanley Cup. It's
That's
just
unbelievable.
Ridiculous, right? Hey, set on the downtown streets of the Sunshine City, my hometown, St. Petersburg, it's the 18th annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, and it kicks off Florida's spring break season with some high-speed excitement. For race information and tickets, visit gpstpete.com. That's gpstpete.com. Another racing season is getting ready to start right here in St. Petersburg.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get you out on this one real quick. We're baseball guys. We love baseball. We want to see baseball. Pitchers and catchers would normally be stretching their arms and legs and whatever else they stretch these days. They're going to screw this up, Tommy. We're not, you know me, I'm a glass is half empty guy all the time. They're not going to start this season on time, and whatever that brings them in terms of bad mojo, so be it for Major League Baseball.
I agree, Rick. And here's the thing right now is usually the fans will start putting pressure and the media starts putting pressure on everybody to get a deal done. Right now, there's so much else going on that I don't think anybody – no one's going to miss it now. Now, when pitchers and catchers are supposed to report or spring training is supposed to start, there'll be those opening – those first days where you're like, oh, we should be opening spring training today. But, I mean, with March Madness is coming up soon and you got the Masters after that.
Free agency, the draft.
Free agency, the draft in the NFL. Rick, even to this day, you'll turn on ESPN in the morning and they would rather talk about – where Aaron Rodgers is going to play next year than anything else.
I don't hear anything about baseball, even though, I mean, I know there's not much to report in terms of these meetings, but really no one is talking about Major League Baseball right now.
No. Now, maybe when people start losing paychecks, that's usually what,
that's when the rubber meets the road. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think both sides are going to be stubborn about this. It's to the point, Rick, I don't even care. Usually in past labor disputes, I sort of had deep down, most of us tend to side with players because the owners have so much money. But I don't even care. She's like, just get it done. And if you don't, then I'll watch the NBA playoffs. I'll watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'll do something else. I don't have time for your junk. Like, you need to figure it out.
It seems like there's enough money for everybody on both the players and the owner's side. They just have to decide how to cut the pie, and that's always what labor negotiations come down to, right? But I know that depending on what they put in here, could affect the smaller market teams, and the Rays could be disproportionately affected by whatever new agreement they have and years of service and when guys go to arbitration, and all of that's going to matter to the Rays especially. But it's sad because they have a good young team with some real young superstars, Wander Franco and Rosarena and guys like that you want to see. And, you know, they're having to go through this. So
Doesn't it feel like that thing was like the playoff series against Boston was like 5 years ago?
100 years ago. 100 years ago. In fact, I was in Boston when Boston was making the postseason to then play the Rays. And that seems like 200 years ago. Brady went back to Boston this year. Like, doesn't that seem like he went back there like 2 years ago or something? Like, it was this year.
And also, what's weird, and I'm sure New England fans don't feel this way, it also feels like it's been like 10 years since Brady played for the Patriots.
Right? I'm used to him in a Bucs uniform. I will watch videotape of him, and they'll show him playing with the Patriots, and I go, oh, that looks weird.
I know, right? Doesn't it? Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's old tape.
He's in the Ring of Honor, right? He goes into the Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah, automatically. Absolutely.
There's a stat. Where's the statue? They got to put a statue up, right?
Statue, I'm going to predict, and actually when he hired him, he was hoping this would be the case, but I'm going to predict that Bruce Arians gets one and that Tom Brady gets one. I have advocated, tell me if you think this should be the way it goes. No statue of Tom Brady. It shouldn't be the Peyton Manning, you know, in the famous, you know, cock the arm back pose with a helmet. No. No statue of Tom Brady should be made or commissioned for the Buccaneers in front of Raymond James unless it includes a boat and a Lombardi trophy being suspended over a body of water that they can dig right through in a trench through the south parking lot over there by Buccaneer Beach. I'm telling you, that is the only statue I want to see of Tom Brady tossing that Lombardi trophy across a body of water to Cam Brayton in another boat. That's what I want to see.
It would be absolutely perfect. Did you see what he put on Twitter the other day when he said to Matthew Stafford?
It's great.
Stafford was like smoking a cigar and, you know, obviously
drinking,
slurring and everything. And he's like, drink water, trust me. And I think Arians, he should be in a golf cart. I would like to see him in a golf cart. If that the statue is a golf cart. Don't you? I think it would be perfect.
Yeah, well, that's how I remember him for sure.
The greatest 2 years, Rick, of Tampa Bay sports history. Clearly will never match it. It feels like the end. If he leaves and never plays again or plays somewhere else, you know, let's not forget, like, that whole like goodbye on Instagram was all about the Bucks. So, you know, there's that theory out there that was his goodbye.
I think he'd already said goodbye.
Rick, if he's gone for good, and boy, what a ride it was. But it was, you know, throw in the Rays going to the playoffs, going to World Series, and then making the playoffs the other year, and then Lightning winning two Stanley Cups. I mean, we've lost title time. Los Angeles owns it again, but it was
inevitable.
Unbelievable. It was just an incredible ride.
It's not me personally, although when you're kind of in it, you sort of understand looking back what it was like. But for the fans of the Bucks, and you're right, to some degree the Rays and the Lightning, like there is a sort of mourning period where you go, man, that was fun and it was way too fast. You know, like when you're in it, it doesn't seem that way, but when you look back at it, you go, that was just a streak. You know, like that whizzed by in front of us, and did that really happen? You know, did that really happen?
Right.
Tom Brady came here and he won a Super Bowl. And he almost went back to another one and walked out on top of his profession with the most passing yards, the most touchdowns, and said, I'm good. Thanks, Tampa Bay. See you in Canton. And what a class that'll be in 2027, by the way, because I expect Rob Gronkowski is going to retire as well. I don't think there's any question in my mind about that. And so you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Richard Sherman, most likely, The list goes on, but jeez.
It's unbelievable. And I actually think, too, Rick, the last 2 years, and I'm sure you'll write about this at some point down the road, or you know, a bunch of people write about, is what these 2 years have meant for Brady's legacy. I mean, I think up until the last 2 years, he was seen as sort of this, not necessarily a robot, but, you know, he's part of New England, and, and you know, he didn't say much, and it was...
Cheater.
Cheater, Deflategate, all that stuff. And then he came here, and then you talk about the boat parade, and you talk about, you know, he was just a different guy.
Robbie and Gronky.
Really, really, yeah, really kicked back and really had fun, and we started to get more insight, and he did the Man in the Arena stuff, and it was, we just, it's like, oh, it's a real guy. He's not a robot.
He's sanitized. I think he sanitized his reputation in many ways and showed a side of him and let people in on a side of him that has always been there for his teammates and coaches, but that we didn't get to see because of New England and because of the Patriot way and all of that. And he found his voice, and he said that many times. It's like, look, it wasn't unintentional. I mean, he wanted to live differently. He wanted to see another side of the NFL, and he found that there are more ways to win. You don't have to do it the Patriot way. There's other ways to win too and still be very serious about your craft and get guys to come along with you and all of that, but have more fun. And he's certainly enjoying the weather. He certainly enjoys Florida. He's going to retire here, I think, probably in Miami in their forever house down there. And in the few interactions I had, I'm telling you, there's not a more humble celebrity quarterback, like celebrity anything in sports, than Tom Brady. And again, he keeps his circle very small, and he's very corporate. And it's not like I'm not going to ever sit down and have beers with him, I don't think. But in terms of just his, you know, humility, for a guy as big as he is, his humility and self-deprecation and things like that are really next level. And he does care about his teammates. And a lot of guys in his position wouldn't, because they're half his age. They're some of them aren't as old as his career. And yet the stories are famous about him coming up and saying, hey, I'm Tom Brady. And everybody's like, yeah, no blank you are. You know, like, I've watched you since the time I was a baby. So
do you see the clips, by the way, of Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl? There was a clip going around the other day where,
He's walking up to guys like Von Miller.
Von Miller, yeah, like, hi, I'm Joe. You know,
yeah,
hey, and Joe. I'm Joe. No, good to meet you. Burrow. I'm not saying Burrow's going to be next Tom Brady. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
he reminds me a little bit though of that. The same way as the humble and not big.
Although he's got and you know, Tom always had an edge. All the great players or athletes have edges to them, right? They all,
yeah.
You know, he walks around with the 199 draft card in his pocket and all that. So he's got an edge. I think Burrow is edgy, but I think Burrow has a swag to
him.
Well,
for sure. Wear that suit in the game, you got to win. I'm just saying.
You got to wear it out when you lose. The confidence comes from, right?
At least he lost a hat when he walked out. Like,
it's a little bit like a walk of shame. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to explain to you what the walk of shame is, Tom. You've taken it many times with me. It's like, well, you wore it in, buddy. Guess what? Those are your clothes coming out, too. You got to get on the bus in that outfit. And am I wrong? Does he not look like Macaulay Culkin just grew up?
He does. Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's
something like that.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Exactly, man. Well, gosh darn it, Tom, I don't know what I said that was wrong to get you off the show, not come back on a podcast.
I don't want to relive it. I don't want to rehash it.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Well, we can't. The NDA. Yeah. I mean.
I don't know. This might have been a one-time thing.
That's okay. But if it was, it's great. I mean, it's
what will happen first? Will Tom Brady throw another NFL pass, or will I be back on the podcast? One will happen again. I wonder which one.
Well, Tom, everybody wants to know, are you coming back on Sports Day Tampa Bay?
Well,
you've
been
a seven-time
you're Jim Gray's
Sports Writer of the Year Award.
Never say never.
Jim Gray.
That's the way I feel about it. Never say never. We'll see what the future
is. And that reminds us, has a certain ring. And Ring Doorbell, brought to you by Tom, it's been a great podcast. Let's do it again next year.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, folks, don't forget the 18th annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, is happening this February 25th through the 27th. For race tickets and information, go ahead and visit gpstpete.com. That's gpstpete.com. Oh, man. That was a lot of fun, man. Thanks for coming on. I don't know that we'll talk again, but appreciate it. Right. And check out, just before we go, check out his newsletter, which I have read extensively now. And the man does a lot of work on pointer.org. It's a daily newsletter. It's a great media column, all media, including sports. But it's really well done. You guys got to check that out, Tom Jones.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Tommy.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.